I like that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," but it's really that line, take it to the Lord in prayer, right? Our Savior is accessible to us, and He wants to hear from us, and He wants to know us. I'll start this morning's message with a piece of scripture from John 7, 37 through 38. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. You know, in the busyness of our daily lives, we often find ourselves thirsty. Thirsty for meaning, for purpose, and fulfillment. Even when we are not consciously aware of it, there's a universal thirst within every human soul, a thirst for God. This thirst drives us to seek various forms of fulfillment in the world, often leaving us empty and dissatisfied. We search for something that can satisfy the deep longing within our souls. And St. Augustine describes it this way, speaking to God. He says, 'You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you.'" Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. What we are truly seeking is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus declares himself as the living water, and he invites us to come and to come thirsty. Jesus is the only one who can quench this restless thirst and provide true satisfaction. In the pages of the Bible, we encounter stories of people who, in their desperation, sought Jesus. And these narratives reveal a profound truth, that is, that Jesus sees us and Jesus hears us. So this morning, we're going to take a few moments to explore a few of these stories so that we can better understand the depth of Jesus' compassion and his unwavering attention to our needs. This is the one that brings me hope, and that's that Jesus sees us even when we're hidden in the crowd. And this story can be found in Mark 5, Matthew 9, and Luke 8, and I can send those to you if you want the reference. But in the bustling crowd, amidst the noise and chaos, there was a woman who had been suffering for 12 long years. Yet her faith moved her to reach out, believing that a mere touch of Jesus' cloak would bring her healing. And in that crowd were countless people blended into one another, and Jesus still recognized her touch. He turned, seeing not just a face in the multitude, but a heart full of faith. And he called her daughter. He said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." That's Mark 5:34. This reminds us that in the busiest of times, when we seem lost in a crowd, Jesus sees us and it responds to us as an individual. And there's a story of the blind Bartimaeus. It's found in Mark 10, Matthew 20, and Luke 18. And I'm going to read from Luke 18, starting at verse 35. It says, "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' He called out, he said, 'Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' 'Lord, I want to see,' he replied. Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you.' It says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God." This miracle highlighted Jesus' compassion and willingness to respond to those who earnestly seek him. And this man was earnestly seeking him, calling out from his blindness. He was calling out and he was being shushed. And he goes, "No, Jesus, have mercy on me." Now, I can't mention the name of Zacchaeus without thinking of that little song from Sunday school, right? The wee little man, right? So you're going to be in your head all day long. You're welcome. Luke 19. When it comes to someone making an effort to encounter Jesus, I always think of Zacchaeus in the little song. Luke 19, 1 through 10 shares a story of Zacchaeus, a wealthy tax collector who, because of a short stature, had to climb a tree to see Jesus as he passed through Jericho. Now, in his humility, he didn't expect Jesus to notice him, but Jesus looked up and he called him by name and he invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. Through this encounter, Zacchaeus experienced repentance and transformation, and Jesus declared, he said, today salvation has come to this house, Luke 19:9, emphasizing the spiritual renewal that had occurred. In the simple act, Jesus revealed that he sees not only the prominent and the visible, but also those who humble themselves, reaching out for a glimpse of his grace. He notices our efforts, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, and responds with abundant grace and love. Zacchaeus had to go out of his way to see, and he was seen. And from this morning's scripture, remember that Patrick read, the paralytic man and his friends. This can be found in Mark 2, Matthew 9, and Luke 5. It's a story of a paralyzed man who's being carried by his friends, and he was brought to Jesus. But when they got to where Jesus was, there were all kinds of obstacles and huge crowds, and they weren't able to get close because of the crowds. But they didn't give up. They wanted to get this man in front of Jesus. So they climbed on the roof, and they removed the tiles from the roof and lowered him in. Doesn't say what the homeowner thought of this, but that's a little bit of effort. I'm going to dig a hole through your roof, and I'm going to lower my friend in front of this crowd, in front of Jesus. And that takes a lot of faith, right? Because, you know, people were pushing and clamoring to get to him, and you're cutting in line, and you cut a hole in my roof, right? The lengths they went to do that, absolutely, absolutely. That's how much faith and how much they believed and how badly they wanted to get this man there who couldn't do it for himself. And witnessing their faith, Jesus had not only healed the paralyzed man physically, but forgave his sins. And my interpretation is that that's what freed the man. Addressing his deepest spiritual need is what happened. And this encounter demonstrated Jesus' authority both to heal physically and to forgive sins, addressing the man's spiritual and physical needs simultaneously. And the story illustrates that when we are too weak to seek Jesus on our own, physically, spiritually, emotionally, the faith of friends can lead us into his presence. Jesus honors the faith of those who intercede for us, answers the prayers of the community around us. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, found in John 3, who's a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. And you're saying, hey, isn't that the group that really gave Jesus a hard time? And yes, it was. And that's why when he came to Jesus, he came at night, secretly and hesitantly. He was probably scared to be seen talking to Jesus. In his uncertainty, he sought understanding. He asked Jesus the probing questions. And Jesus didn't judge him or call him out for being kind of scared or timid about this. Jesus met him with patience and wisdom. He addressed his questions and guidance, and he gave him guidance towards spiritual truth. And so this makes me wonder, this is a little bit of accountability for me. How do I respond to a reluctant Christian? You know, I like to think that people know what my faith is, my beliefs are, and they come to you periodically, don't they, with questions. And sometimes they'll ask you, and sometimes they're like, hey, you know, they're a little hesitant, a little scared, not so public. Jesus, when this happened with Jesus, he met him with patience, with understanding. Hey, I'm not going to shame you for having a secret conversation by the water cooler about Jesus. I'm just so glad you asked. I'm just so glad you asked. So despite Nicodemus's reservations, Jesus heard his inquiries and provided answers. He demonstrated that even in hesitancy and doubt, and we all have this, Jesus calls us to himself. He's eager to reveal the profound truths to seeking hearts. And if you recognize that, this is from John 3, it's in this explanation of Nicodemus that we find verse John 3:16. We all know what it says, for God so loved the world. That's the truth that he shared with Nicodemus. And last is the woman at the well. It's found in John 4. And this is a story of a Samaritan woman who went at the hottest part of the day when there were very few people at this well. But she had been shunned by the people around her. And so she went when there weren't other people around. And sometimes we do that, right? We avoid the confrontation. We avoid the eyes and the shame. So she was at the hottest part of the day, and Jesus came to the well thirsty, physically thirsty. And the Samaritan woman encountered Jesus and discovered him to be the source of living water. This is where we hear this verse, that he can provide living water. Her conversation with Jesus led to her realizing his identity as the Messiah, as he knew things that only he could know, and he offered forgiveness that only he could forgive. And she realized who he was. And this fulfilled her spiritual thirst and transformed her life. And just as the Samaritan woman encountered Jesus at the well, you too can have a personal encounter with him. When you come to Jesus with your thirst, your doubts, your fears, your insecurities, he offers you the living water that is his grace and love and his forgiveness. Through faith, you can drink deeply from this well that never runs dry, finding spiritual nourishment for our weary souls. And these examples, the ill woman, Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, the paralytic, Nicodemus, the woman at the well, countless others from biblical times and countless others from modern times. They illustrate the diverse backgrounds and need of people who approach Jesus. But notice also that there was diversity in how they connected with Jesus. Some came willingly, some came enthusiastically, some reluctantly, some at the bequest of friends, some out of desperation. Regardless of their circumstances, Jesus saw and he heard them, and he responded with compassion, healing, forgiveness, and spiritual insight. These encounters emphasize the universal truth that Jesus is the answer to our spiritual needs, regardless of what our background, our struggle, or our means to reach him are. So where have you found yourself? You're here on a Sunday morning to worship. So I think it's safe to assume that you're climbing a proverbial tree to get above the busyness and distraction of the day, because you're taking an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning to elevate yourself above other things to see Jesus. Not distracted by the crowding of the world. And earlier in the service, we prayed for other people as if removing that barrier and carrying their request to Jesus on their behalf, like the friends we are. Jesus sees you and he calls out to you. He hears you and he responds. He wants to go with you when you leave this place, to go home with you like he did with Zacchaeus, and to your job, and to change the way you look at and interact with the world. The invitation to drink from the well of living water is extended to everyone. In Revelation 22:17 echoes this invitation. It says, "The Spirit and the Bride," which is Christ, says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes, take the free gift of the water of life. If you want it, it's there for you." Responding to this invitation requires a measure of humility, right? Of repentance and certainly of faith. It involves acknowledging your need for Christ and surrendering your life to him. So have you done this? Will you do this? This is Jesus' invitation. It's the invitation we extend on his behalf. He says, "Come, I hear you, I see you." Whether you're coming on your own or you're at your last resort or friends have been praying for you and you may not even realize it, come, let me lighten that load. Dear friends, these stories remind us that Jesus sees us when we are hidden. He hears our cries when we climb trees to catch glimpses of him. He responds to the faith of friends who carry us and to the friends that we carry. He calls us when we are hesitant to come forward. He's the God who notices. He's the Savior who responds and the shepherd who calls a sheep by name. No matter where you are on your spiritual journey, Jesus sees you, he hears you, and responds to your seeking hearts with boundless love and unfathomable grace. So as we leave this place today, let us carry with us the assurance that we are seen and heard and deeply loved by our Lord. May we in turn see, hear, and respond to the needs of others, embodying the compassion of Christ in our interactions with the world. Let's make that our prayer. Heavenly Father, how good it is to know that you see us and you hear us. Lord, there are surely places in our lives and in our hearts and our minds that we don't want you to see, but you expose us. Because we need to bring those parts as well so that we can receive the gift of forgiveness for every part of our life, the love for everything that we are. Heavenly Father, there are times when we are just on fire and we'll climb trees and we'll push through clouds and we'll shout out despite the shushing to let the world know, to let you know that we love you. And there are times that we're quiet and hidden and reluctant. And there are times when we don't know it, but there are people praying on our behalf. There are people in the world today that we are praying for, in this community that are traveling, friends, family. We have people on the other side of the world in a conflict, global conflict that we are praying for. We are removing those barriers and putting them before you. Lord, will you protect them? Thank you for being who you are. Help us to hear clearly your invitation as you call us one by one by name and invite yourselves into our homes and in our lives. Let us accept that invitation and let us invite others too. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I think the greatest invitation is represented by the table of the sacraments of communion. As Jesus was gathered with his disciples and others who were following him, and one that had betrayed him. And Jesus, knowing the full weight and power and responsibility of what had happened, who he was, and what was going to happen, he did what we'd all do. Would you take this from me? Take this cup from me. But then he does the thing that we all need to do in those moments. But your will, not mine, be done. So as he took those elements, as he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. And as he took the cup and he poured the wine and he gave thanks, and I say this all the time, if Jesus Christ, who was perfect and the Son of God, needs to give thanks and talk to God, how much more do I? And he said, this blood is the new covenant. Didn't come to destroy or replace it all, but to fulfill those promises. And because of this great sacrifice, there's an invitation extended to everybody. Come, repent, receive your forgiveness. Every Sunday morning as we gather, we take the bread and we break it. And we remember the body broken. And we pour the wine. And remember the new covenant. There's a pathway to salvation. And we eat the bread and we drink the wine and we do so in remembrance of him. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we pause in this hour of worship to worship you in this very special way, to accept your invitation to come to this table, to receive the bread and the cup, to know what they represent and to know what they mean to us individually, and more importantly, to know what we mean to you. Lord, however we choose to celebrate this in the next few moments, whether it's prayer or meditation or silence or worship, Lord, would you just move on our hearts, whatever it is you need us to hear. And would you just remind us that we too are seen and heard by you. Thank you for this wonderful gift. We are sorry for what we've done that put him on the cross. But again, we say thank you and amen for the hope and salvation that awaits everyone. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.